This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. In the waning days of the 19th century, a wealthy New York doctor and businessman, Dr. William Seward Webb, and his wife, Lila Vanderbilt Webb, built their country estate on the shores of Lake Champlain. Far more than just a grand family home, they acquired nearly 4,000 acres and created what is now known as Shelburne Farms. Over the years, the farm struggled to continue as a going concern, and in 1972, the grandchildren of the original Webbs founded a nonprofit dedicated to conservation and agricultural education. Shelburne Farms now promotes farm-to-school education, sustainable farming and forestry, and good conservation practices. It also runs an inn and fine dining restaurant in the former family home. A new book explores the property. Written and photographed by Glenn Swoko, it's called Shelburne Farms, House, Gardens, Farm, and Barns. I recently joined Swoko and Alec Webb, who's one of the descendants of Lila and William, and who grew up on the farm. We stopped in at the billiard room, and Swoko described the estate's private and public history and why the inn, officially known as Shelburne House, is so important to the story.
Shelburne Farms is so complex. There is the farm, there's the food, the education component, the magnificent architecture, the house, the gardens. The house in particular is of great interest to me because when it became a National Historic Landmark, it opened to the public back in 1985 to 1987 when it was going under a very sensitive restoration. And it opened up as an inn. It could have opened up as an historic house with guided tours. But what's wonderful about it is that guests can use the house. They can sleep in the beds, they can eat at the tables, they can play pool at the pool table, they can relax on the porch. So it is, in many ways, steeping oneself, immersing oneself in history.
Describe this room as you would describe it to an audience who can't see it.
Well, the room is magnificent, high ceilings, wooden ceilings, original lights from the late 1800s, a great big billiards table from New York City in the middle of it, a stone fireplace. There are on the walls lots of animal trophies from a different era, birds, bison, antelope, deer. The mood is very kind of dark and wonderful in here. The room is often used after dinner as a place for socializing.
I feel like I should have a scotch for this part of the conversation, but that may be a different kind of interview. Alec, what does this room represent to you?
There have been a lot of wonderful conversations that have happened in here, and in more recent years, now that the house is part of the nonprofit education organization, there have been a number of wonderful gatherings, and then, of course, guests are coming here. Kids have a great time playing pool and enjoying the house and the place here.
There's also a personal connection you have to this place.
Yeah, that's definitely. So it was my great-grandparents. So it was my great-grandfather would come back here and have his drinks with his friends or whatever. The house and the farm is really, I think, has had kind of three lives. But its life as a agricultural estate started in the 1880s with my great-grandparents. So it was private, and then my generation formed a nonprofit organization in 1972. So it was the idea of transforming Shelburne Farms into a nonprofit in the early 70s. And then in 1984, the whole property was donated to the nonprofits. You know, at that point, it was really in the public realm.
Did you grow up in this house?
I grew up in a house that was near the Melton Barn. So my father spent a lot of his life trying to make Shelburne Farms go as a working farm. So my experience was growing up on the land here, and my world revolved around the dairy operation. All of my siblings. There was a period in the 1960s where enough of the plumbing worked in the house here, where we did move over for a few weeks and kind of lived in here as if it were a summer camp type setup, which is a lot of fun for young kids. During that era, there were some occasional parties in the center of the house, yeah.
You can hear the tension from Alec in saying this is a working landscape and a working foundation, and we don't want to present it as some period piece about a wealthy family. But I also, you know, you look around and you think, oh my goodness, it's beautiful and opulent. And you write in the book that this was considered a summer cottage, you know, and there are 24 beautiful rooms. So how do you strike that balance between featuring some of the more beautiful, opulent parts of it, but also keeping in mind the context of the foundation and the family's wishes?
Well, it was built in a totally different era, in a different century, with different ways of living. And 150 years later, we've learned a lot from that. And you can look in this room in particular and see furniture from New York City, from the family's house that was moved here. And it's wonderful that it is here, that it wasn't removed. And the taxidermies on the walls are really examples of what life was like then. And to remove them is to remove that story. So again, it's bridging the past with the present and keeping things pretty much the way they were, so that, again, the visitor can see what life was like and how it informed this place.
Alec, for you?
Well, it's interesting because from my perspective growing up, you know, I was a teenager in the 1960s, and the idea behind the nonprofit was really, in a sense, our rebellion against the history of this place and power and privilege that it stood for. And our concern was around environment and social issues and meaningful education. And how could a place that came from this past use its history, use the beautiful artifacts that were created here, but for a completely different purpose? And that's been an evolution for me, rejecting the story in the past as a young person in the 60s to embracing it and celebrating it and appreciating it. But for me personally, as I'm getting older, it's becoming a more complete story that I can appreciate more deeply in all of its facets.
So it's not anymore an uneasy acceptance or celebration of your heritage?
No, it is still, I think. But I would never build a place like this and live in a place like this personally, I don't think. But if I had all the money in the world.
One of the things that I was reading in about this house in your book was that this house really fell into disrepair. It was not functional for many years, and in fact, at least some parts of it, falling apart. But it was the fact that this whole space became a nonprofit foundation, an organization that enabled this house to have a very sensitive, very in-depth renovation. And now we have this beautiful house.
Today, it's remarkable how much it looks like it did 100 years ago. I mean, I love history. I love historic houses, I have to admit. So being able to kind of step back in time and being here in this house is a little bit like fantasy, living someone else's life, because everything is so of a period and comprehensive. There's not a mix of, say, mid-century modernist furniture in the room we're standing in. It really is going back to a different era. So there's something kind of marvelous about that. How many houses have you been in where there is Elizabethan Revival architecture in the kitchen or in the dining room? So it's quite unique.
Well, if you'd walked in the front door in the 1960s, you would have seen two sap buckets catching water dripping through the ceiling, and the back of the house was gone. And it, I mean, the house and the barns came within a hair of being lost in the 60s and 70s. It was a close call.
Keeping in mind Alec's point about this building being in service to the larger mission, can we look at some of the wonderful parts of this building that people may not have experienced if they haven't been here? And Glenn, maybe you and Alec can show us and tell us a few of the wonderful parts of it.
Mm-hmm. Up to the dining room. I mean, so much of Glenn's book is about food. and so much of Shelburne Farms is about food.
Right.
We're in the marble dining room, which was the last stage of construction for the building. These are one of the three remaining wall fabrics that were original to the house. It's red silk damask. So it's
striking.
It's pretty special. And these beautiful, romantic, beaded torchères that were made in New York City, again, original to the room. The white marble on the floor and on the floorboards and on the fireplace mantel are all Vermont marble, quarried here in Vermont. Originally, through this wall here, there was a glass conservatory filled with palm trees and scented flowers. But the dining room's location is perhaps, I think, one of the most amazing that I've ever seen in terms of the view over the lake into the Adirondack Mountains. And those who have eaten here and experienced the sunsets, of course, are to die for. and the light comes in and reflects off these beautiful walls, and it's just very sumptuous and lovely. The sumptuousness aside, the food is incredible. And of course, at the end of the day, it's all about a meal. And the food has a particularly great story in that 75%, sometimes more, depending on the week, is grown or raised on the farm.
Food is so much a part of the farm and the working landscape here. Mm-hmm. And then you eat it in this really beautiful historic place. But if you're going to have a meal here, you have to still have money. You know, it's not a cheap meal. It's not something that's available to every Vermonter. So how do you think of that in the context of the work that you're trying to do for Vermont and for the wider community? Because I know that that's part of that tension for you.
So part of practicing stewardship is, and sustainability is, financial sustainability. So we earn revenue through the sale of meals, through sale of cheese, other maple syrup. People pay a fee to tour the property or whatever. So it's through a combination of products and services that we provide, we're able to generate about two-thirds of our operating budget, which allows us to share the larger resource.
So you've brought me outside. Where are we?
Well, we're on the south porch, which is just off the library, off the main house, right off the main drive up to the front of the building. For me, this porch is, well, it's about place. I mean, you're in the beauty of the Champlain Valley here, and then it's the spot. And also, a lot of conversations have happened here that are such a part of the story of Shelburne Farms. And who knows what was being discussed in the 1880s. And for us, there were a lot of family conversations in the 1970s that happened here around the future of the farm. And then so many guests, you know, come here and just relax and leave inspired and refreshed. And it's just, it's an amazing piece of architecture that leads to a wonderful experience here.
That was Alec Webb along with Glenn Suoco talking about Shelburne House, also known as the Inn at Shelburne Farms. We will have photos from Glenn Suoco's new book showcasing the landscape, history, and architecture of Shelburne Farms at vpr.net this afternoon.